question today is, who and what does Hebrews 10:26 through 29 refer to? As we think about that, let me read those verses first of all, and then we'll see what the Word of God says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 29. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. As we look at this in context, we see, and I believe that it's just like we've said as we dealt with Hebrews 6, 4, and 6. I believe this book is written by Paul as the human instrument, inspired by God, of course, moved on by the Holy Ghost, and God breathed through him to the Hebrew Christians, or at least professors. Now, there was much in this book that tells us that many of those people were not saved. And as a result, Paul is calling them to examine themselves. And so here, and yet when he says, like we say here, he said, and when, for if we sin willfully. Anytime you see that, that means the writer of the book is putting himself in the same category with the people he's addressing. So that means saints of God. Paul was definitely a saved man, or any writer of the book was a saved man, because holy men of all were moved on by the Holy Ghost. So they put themselves in the same category, we. And therefore, he's talking to the saints of God, not referring to those who profess to be saved and yet lost. He's talking about the saints of God. And so it's written to the saved is who it's written to. Now, most put this warning the same as the warning in chapter 6, verse number 4 through 6. But it's not the same there, because we've just dealt with that, how that in Hebrews 6, 4 and 6, there was the saying, we, let us go on to perfection, and this we will do, and that's the saints. And then he turns in verse 4 and said, for those, in other words, a different group of people, those that were not saved. But here, he uses the word we, referring to the saints, committing a sin unto death. In other words, the characteristics of sin, as we think about this, is a willful sin. Did he not say there in verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of truth? In other words, willful sin. Willfully means voluntarily, of one's own accord. A willful sin is not a sin committed due to ignorance or weakness. Many times people try to get by with that, but many times they know better. In this case, willful means you know better. You say, well, we've all voluntarily of our own accord sinned. That's true. But in context, and we have verbal inspiration, and in context, the construction says this: the tense refers to a continuous, habitual action. This is not talking about an occasional sin. It's not talking about one act of willful sin, but a continuous sin, deliberate sin, willful sin. In other words, that's continuous action. You say, well, I thought the man had a lifestyle of sin was lost. 1 John 3:9 said, if a man commits sin, and the word commit is a continuous action, a verb, that he's not saved. He's of the devil. And that's true. But the length of the time is the difference. A person can get in sin, but it's intermittent sin. And if he continues persisting in that, the Lord's going to take him on out of this. He's going to commit a sin of the death. It's willful sin. And he said, if we've done it after we've received the knowledge of truth, that refers to precise and correct knowledge or full discernment. Now, let me back up just a little and make clear that a person who continues in sin and God doesn't deal with, that man has never been saved. But a saved man, if he continues in sin seemingly and begins to pursue a course of action that's contrary to God, God's going to draw a line in his life and say, cross that line, sin one more time, and it's over with. Now, see, some sins you committed last year may have been due to ignorance, but now you've received a full knowledge concerning that sin, and for you to commit that sin would be willful sin, and it means you sin with your eyes open. And the consequences of the sin, what did he say there in verse number 26? There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, he said, there is, he dealt with that in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, term there. I want to read it and make sure I get it correct. But he says this in 1 John 1:7. He said, "But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In other words, if we will obey what light we know, then our sins are taken care of. But when you say, preacher, all you got to do is just confess your sin, because the Bible said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But listen, forgiveness is not based upon your confession, but upon the basis of the sacrifice. The shed blood. And I understand if you really confess, it means the work of God's been done. But if you reject the sacrifice, the blood I'm talking about, there is no other sacrifice. And you can't have a genuine confession till godly sorrow works repentance, and repentance is connected to that confession agreeing with God. Yes, I've sinned against God. And we're talking about consequences. There's no more sacrifice for sin. And judgment is coming, because he said there, but verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. The word but means, in other words, it's a for certain fearful. It says if you continue in sin, there's a contrast here. If you're saved, you can expect judgment and you can expect fiery indignation. Now, the word judgment means punishment. The word fiery indignation, the word fire is used as an emblem of fierce punishment. In other words, thus devouring the adversaries. Now, who's the adversaries? Well, the word adversaries means contrary, opposed. It's referring in context to the saved being contrary or opposed to God and His will. Thus, they will be devoured. They will be consumed. What part of man will be consumed? Verse number 28, look at, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. So he's using an Old Testament example. What part of man is consumed? The body. They died in the Old Testament time at the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's what was required in those days. The Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 7, verse number 2, or 17, verse number 2 through 7. He said, if there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that has wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it is true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which hath committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So they shall put the evil away from among you. So, what did he say? The Old Testament time, and under law, the body, they died. It's, so what part of man will be consumed? The body. It's talking about sin unto death. And then he says this in verse 29 of Hebrews chapter 10, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now the word sore there means more severe. The word worthy means to deem entitled or fit. It means if man under law in the Old Testament died for willful breaking of God's commandment, the saved under grace deserve a more severe punishment when he willfully, continuously sins against God. So the warning's explained then in the rest part of verse number 25 as he lists the three sins as listed as an example of a sin unto death. And that's what these verses are dealing with. And you say, but preacher, I disagree. I'm glad to hear from you. I'll be glad to hear from you on email or snail mail or telephone. It doesn't matter. We want your questions. We want your comments, because iron sharpens iron, and we need to understand what thus saith the Word of God. And folks, one of these days, the only thing is going to matter when all the dust is settled, as the expression would be, it's only what you have done with the blood of Christ that was shed, what God, what the work of the Holy Ghost has done in you and completed in you of Holy Ghost conviction and godly sorrow that brought work, repentance, and faith so that you obeyed the gospel. That's all it's going to count. But now we're talking about what the Bible said. This is a sin of death that a saved person can commit. If he continuously moves in sin. Now remember the time segment. If you continuously there and God doesn't start dealing with you soon, you're not saved. Mark that down. You're just not saved. So the first sin he deals with is downtrodden the Son of God. Now, the phrase is hath trodden underfoot. That's one word in the Greek. It means to trample down. It means to reject with disdain. And folks, that's a dangerous sin. In other words, the hippies back in the days of the hippies, they wrote the name of Jesus on the soles of their shoe and walked on them. In essence, they were walking on Jesus is what it amounts to. And so that's a dangerous thing. But listen, how in the world can we walk on Jesus? You say, I'd never put Jesus on my feet to walk on him. How can we walk on him? How can we trodden underfoot the Son of God? I'll tell you how, when we walk on his church. The Bible says about Paul in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, when they're on the road to Damascus, he met the Lord, and the Lord dealt with him in chapter 9, verse number 4. Listen to what he said there. 9:4, he said as he spoke to him, and of course after he met the Lord, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, you see, who had Saul persecuted? You read the Bible, you'll find Saul persecuted the church. He had men placed in jail. He had men stoned. He had them killed. And listen, to persecute the church is the same as persecuting Jesus. And this verse, as far as where he talked about downtrodden underfoot the Son of God, is right after, this section is right after verse 25 when he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, it's dangerous for a saved person to willfully forsake the assembly. Whatever reason they may think they've got, it's dangerous to forsake the assembly. I'm talking about a saved person. If he can continue, if he continues to do that, for even a short period of time, he'll go to a premature grave, a sin unto death. And listen, you can't be right with God and be wrong with your church. And then to walk on the cross of the Son of God is a dangerous thing. And that's how you walk on Jesus, if you please. You see, the cross covers sins, past, present, and future. And as long as I don't willfully go against that truth, the Lord will take care of my sin. But if I go willfully, the Bible says in James 4:17, he who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. This is talking about, these verses are talking about the saved people committing a sin unto death. We'll deal with part two at a later time. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.